T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
When's the last time that we have wondered what they're going to do at the trade deadline? When's the last time we have questioned the aggressiveness of a Rick Hahn? Because you know what, Mully? Those bullpen needs haven't gone away because Aloy is back. And I still think that if Rick Hahn wants to go out and get a second baseman to add some more oomph to that lineup, more power to him.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think they need a second baseman. I think it would be a mistake for them to not address that position. I wonder if Leury Garcia is a legitimate second baseman. He plays short. We've seen him at third. We've seen him in the outfield. And we've seen him at second. I wonder if that's his worst spot. I also think you don't win a World Series with Danny Mendick as your starter. I don't think he's a starter. I don't think Leury is a starting second baseman. I think that you can hide a guy like that in the ninth spot in the order if that's what you want to do, if that's what you have concluded. But I just wonder if something goes wrong and they start falling apart a little bit, if they get into a playoff series and they lose, would that not be like the greatest regret you'd ever had, that you did not try to upgrade that position?
That's what you want to guard against. You have to anticipate that question being asked after your last game of the season, whenever it ends, and you hope it's late October. But don't forget what just happened in Milwaukee. You saw three starters of a caliber of which they probably are going to see more of in the playoffs. What makes your lineup most slump-proof? Yeah, you feel good about who's batting fourth right now. Okay, Luis Robert's coming back, but you want to have that feeling about every spot in that lineup because potentially you don't know how much you're going to be shut down by a pitcher who's dealing the way the Brewers were dealing last weekend, and you may run into a hot staff in October.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I feel like I'm involved in a game of musical chairs, David, and I'm seeing all the chairs taken, and you're kind of standing there wondering who's left to trade for, Rick Hahn.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, Thursday is here. Friday, right around the corner. The deadline, 3 p.m. tomorrow. The clock is ticking. What you got, Rick? That's what we're wondering, because running out of second baseman to chase. You've got Eduardo Escobar goes to the Brewers. Adam Frazier's already in a Padre uniform. Who's left? And by the way, while we're worrying about and wondering who's left at second base, do you have to worry and wonder about your DH? Because of all the chairs that are being filled, are you worried about him sitting in the waiting room waiting for another MRI?
Well, these are the fears that kind of pop in. You know, we talked about it before. You are, you know, your great addition is Loy. Well, is he okay?
I thought we agreed he was back.
Yeah, I thought we had made that agreement.
Spent yesterday celebrating his return.
That's right.
We don't want to spend a 24 hours later mourning his loss.
But this is, I mean, Louis Roberts down in AAA, he was the DH last night.
Yeah.
And he led off, and he had a couple of hits.
Right.
So that's nice to see. He went 2-4. If we decided that he can run and everything's fine and he's going to be back and running for the rest of the season.
He can hit, but as we're finding out, it's not the hitting that the problem.
The hitting is the problem right now.
Well, for the White Sox, the hitting may be the problem.
Right.
For injured players coming back,
exactly.
Like Aloy, hitting's not the problem. He can hit the baseball. It's running that is the problem.
Well, and this is what we've talked about. So you got Aloy back, maybe. How's the legs? You got Louis Robert on the way. Is he still running? Is he a DH? And you got Yasmani Grandal, catcher after knee surgery. Does he have to DH? I'm just saying, you can't return three DHs, right? And Aloy already has a little bit of a tweak in his leg, and out of an abundance of caution, they took him out of the lineup last night. David, don't you need to make moves in case the moves that you're expecting, I mean the players returning, aren't all returning in the fashion which you hoped?
It was as if the baseball gods were screaming at Rick Hahn last night, because first, when you saw the Escobar news, you thought, oh, I thought that was a done deal to Chicago. And then when you saw Gavin Sheets pinch hitting for Aloy Jimenez in the ninth inning of a 2-1 game, and yeah, you wondered for a second, is this Tony overthinking it because it is a lefty against a righty? Maybe he doesn't want him to face a tough right-hander. But it is Aloy. He just hit a home run the night before. What's going on here? And it's like, this is a reminder of why you still need to be aggressive. Get reinforcements, find supplements. You want to slump proof your lineup against inconsistency, against injury, because these injuries, unfortunately, have been part of the big story of this season.
Right. And you've seen various players able to kind of pop in, give their contribution, and then pop out. And you're doing all this with the ideas we've spoken of many times of kind of holding on till the big boys are back. But what if they're not all back? Or what if none of them are back? Or what if they're back only in a limited role?
What if they're back until August 15th, and then all of a sudden they tweak something and they have to spend another 10 days or 2 weeks or however long on the injured list? So the White Sox have to continue to be aggressive, weigh the offers, and pursue proven, legitimate hitters. And if that means that the tail of the season forces you to pursue a Story, then go pursue Trevor Story.
Yeah, that's the latest Bob Nightingale. I'm mad at Bob because of the Escobar thing.
I know.
He just had that.
It's his fault.
I blame him.
Stop raising expectations.
but his tweet last night is the White Sox looking into Trevor Story. So I don't know what that means exactly. Looking into, are you going to do it? Is he willing to be a second baseman? Is he willing to leave? He's heading to free agency. Does he have a choice? How happy would he be coming to the White? He'd be a huge addition. I mean, that would be a nice piece to pick up, and you would be significantly better. But you know what the White Sox need? As I was watching them last night, they need Jose Abreu to hit, okay? They need Moncada to get hot. They need Tim Anderson to hit. You know, your big guns aren't firing right now, and they got some hits from the bottom of the lineup, but you look at the lineup and you're like, oh, well, these guys can hit. I don't know about the bottom of the lineup. You can't have it go the other way like that.
Yeah, you can't. You expect them to be better than they have been lately, as long as they stay healthy. And I think the one thing, if you're deciding on what's the most reliable aspect, I think that their emergence is going to be more reliable than the health of some of the players you're counting on to stay healthy. So either way, getting a guy like a Trevor Story, a professional hitter who is as good as he can be and has been, that does protect you against a number of things. I just don't know. What we need to do before we get out of here today, I think, is to, and I can look at it, and I did last night, but it's hard to compare the packages of prospects that, say,
right,
the Diamondbacks got for Escobar, what the Padres gave up for Adam Frazier, and do the White Sox not have the ammunition in their system to get players like this, or are they just unwilling to part with this kind of talent?
Well, I honestly felt when I looked at the ammunition – when I looked at the deal for Frazier, I'm not going to worry about that because the Sox couldn't have matched that one. They just couldn't have. I don't know. I haven't spent enough time looking at what was given up here. I'm just glancing at it right now, as a matter of fact. I didn't even bother with it, David. I was so peeved. So outfielder Cooper Hummel and infielder Alberto Ciprián. That's what the Brewers gave up for all-star shortstop Eduardo Escobar.
They're just names to us because I think we need to find out what exactly they meant to the organization when they dealt them, where they were ranked, and how. And again, even then, I wonder how much we do know because these rankings are subjective, and they didn't have a minor league season last year to really compete. And now, what are we basing this on? So you trust a lot of the things that are arbitrary in terms of the rankings, but I wonder when the Sox enter these conversations, are they going into them trying not to make a deal or trying to make a deal, right? Because
that's,
I think
when you
start any negotiation, when you start any sort of bartering, like the Cubs, if you're Jed Hoyer, you're going in there motivated to sell. If you're Rick Hahn, are you motivated to protect? What is your driving force here? Are you trying to go out and find a Trevor Story or a bat to protect yourself? Or are you trying to go out and make sure you don't get fleeced and you want to protect your prospects because you don't have to and you have an 8.5 game lead in your division? The mindset of these executives in each of these respective conversations, very different, especially in Chicago, where we have two teams dealing from opposite sides of the spectrum.
We have a texter telling us to check out James Fox on Twitter. He had a tweet 7 hours ago saying, this is from James Fox, Future Sox. He says, no media availability at night's baseball tonight is interesting. Jimmy Lambert pulled after two innings. Mike Wright wasn't allowed to pitch, not on eligible roster apparently, and Jake Berger lifted in the ninth inning.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't see that. And if that happened late, that's probably why. And I'm not exactly – I don't think either one of us are checking the Charlotte Knights post-game media reports. But that's a really interesting development. So let's just hypothetically play this out. If the haul for Trevor Story were Berger, Lambert, and a prospect, another prospect, it's probably going to take three prospects, Molly. I think it might take three guys.
Sure.
Is that too much? Is that acceptable? I think we all fell in love a little bit with the Jake Berger story.
It's a great story, and it's fantastic stuff. And think about it. I mean, that guy could really hit the ball in that thin air in Colorado, right? And that might be a nice spot for him.
That would be.
Well, they're also in the midst of a rebuild. They've got they've got a lot of spots they're looking to fill. That would be a nice haul for Trevor Story. Let me rephrase that. That would be kind of a minimum cost for Trevor Story, don't you think? That's not an abundance.
Three minor leaguers.
No top 100 players. The Sox don't have any. They don't have any of the top 100 prospects in
baseball. Isn't Lambert's brother in the Rockies organization still?
They're going Blackhawks on this thing?
They're going Blackhawks. They're going full-scale Stan Bowman here. And I think now you have to worry about if Jake Berger's involved, and we all know – what that represented. Are the White Sox weighing the fairy tale story?
No, I think Jake Berger is blocked. I mean, he's not going to be the third baseman of the White Sox while Yoan Moncada's there, and Yoan Moncada's here, right?
So you wouldn't bemoan his loss, and actually you might even think you can give him credit for coming back, persevering, and putting himself in a position, if they make this deal, hypothetically,
sure,
To let the Sox bring somebody in return who could help them win a World Series.
Right.
Because let's face it, that's what this is all about. Back in 2005, July 29th in 2005, I don't know that you felt like at the time when Jeff Blum came to town, as Ozzie referenced yesterday, this is going to be a guy that helps you win a World Series. But whatever trade the Sox make in the next 36 hours or so, that's the deal that you think is going to help them win a World Series.
Okay.
You got to look at it that way.
Can I say deals? Because I'm still looking for bullpen help.
That's fair. I misspoke. It should be plural. Yeah, it should be plural.
You know how I feel about the second baseman. I'm all over it.
Sure.
But I mean, you got to get some relief help too, you? And they used up. I mean, today is going to be an interesting game. They got an afternoon game, getaway day, and they used pretty much everyone. I believe not only did you have the blown save from your closer, and you've been using him a lot, you had Michael Kopech go back-to-back games for the first time, right?
That was significant. And
yes,
I think
it was.
That's why today does make you wonder what's going to be, how many pitchers are going to be available. And it will reinforce this need for a right-handed component to Michael Kopech in the late innings, because right now they don't have one they trust.
Bummer had obviously a left-handed reliever. He had a good inning yesterday. And Cody Hoyer is the guy that gave up the hit. I'm just saying he was used. And now you're coming back today. I mean, we'll see what happens. But you're kind of taxed your bullpen trying to win that game.
Have. And that was a tough one because Liam Hendricks didn't come through.
Right.
And, you know, Perez just hit a fastball as he so often does. And that just was unfortunate pitch, unfortunate timing, and that's what all-stars do. But the thing is that we don't want to ask, but we are always constantly reminded, is baseball. If Liam Hendricks can't do the job or has one of the, you know, has an outing and blows a save, the rest of it really is all moot. It's just like, you know.
Yeah, but he's done the job and he's been good.
Yeah.
I mean, but
it's like.
So go get Kimbrel. Is that what you're saying?
I think it makes you wonder. It gives you pause. As much as I love, and I think we both want the White Sox to be aggressive to get the second baseman. When you have a 2-1 lead, you didn't hit very well last night. You aren't, you know, hitting a ton. But if you have great pitching, it doesn't matter as much.
And they had great pitching last night. Giolito was fantastic and has been really – he had a slider going, which we don't see from him, and it was really good. And, I think he said after the game that was kind of the slider was really working for him, and so he leaned on it a little bit. And we just see him we don't usually see that pitch from him, and it's really – that's another addition to the arsenal. What's interesting to me is he's been really good – since the All-Star break, and he committed to being really good, and he's been
that's huge though, because
he
went away wherever he went with his wife, and he talked about it. He kind of refreshed his whole mental approach and cleared the deck and hit reset. But he also seems to be attacking things in a little different way. But he has been the ace that you expected him to be at the beginning of the season. In the second half, the last three outings have been outstanding.
We got Bears stuff going on. Obviously, they practiced yesterday. There's injury news. We'll have to get into the injury news. Interesting Aaron Rodgers stuff. Boy, he kind of opened up a lot more than maybe you expected. I felt he was just being flat out honest about everything he said and how he felt. And I thought that was great stuff.
I felt like we were being exposed and is being nationally televised, a therapy session. And Aaron Rodgers was just letting it all out.
The NBA draft is tonight.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
So let's not forget that. We got the trade deadline looming over us like the sword of Damocles. I get it. The Bulls don't have a pick in the first round, so we're waiting for number 38. But that could be a big story. We'll talk about what they could do. Do they try to get back in it? Should they try to make some kind of a trade? Whatever. There's a lot to go into with that. And obviously, the Bears are back up and running, and there's some interesting storylines to revisit. And these injuries
are up and running, but not all of them are running quite yet.
Yeah. Robert Quinn being out is a drag. It's as simple as that. And we'll pick apart the injuries. Your left tackle, the rookie left tackle, has some back tightness. Not good. Jermaine Ifedi also has an injury. That's not good. Are those your starting tackles?
You would like to have your starting tackles on hand for day one. Just saying. Yeah.
Eddie Jackson.
What happened to him?
He's got a little.
Okay.
And Robert Quinn is just, what?
Yeah.
No, I thought we had decided that wasn't going to happen. All right. We got to get to all of it. We've got the 5 and 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mullion Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mullion Hall starts now.
How worried are you seeing Eloy Jimenez leave last night's game with right groin tightness?
Oh, boy. I mean, on a scale of 1 to completely freaked out, I would say I'm pretty completely freaked out. I mean, as David said, I thought we had decided he was back. Hi, Mom. I'm back. Didn't we see that the night before? Good God. I mean, and that's what you worry about. You know, he had a nice evening in the outfield, and he looked like a gold glover, and you could tell that he had really committed himself in the one game. He's also kind of running, you know, he's also working hard. If you saw Andrew Vaughn yesterday, made an unbelievable catch right on the wall and ran into the fencing, that might leave a mark. You know, you worry about how Andrew Vaughn feels when he wakes up this morning. It's like great to see these guys really working hard. They've had great left field play the last two games, but you just don't want any injuries that would accompany that. And I'm worried about Andrew Vaughn this morning, and I'm worried about Eloy. I'm on very high alert, and I am I'm like a raw nerve when it comes to the injured White Sox players and when they're coming back and if they're coming back. And you know, we went through this with Adam Engel finally getting back. He had a setback while returning, and then he went down again, and you're just kind of like, you're just shell-shocked. So I would say, yes, very highly concerned. Not necessarily panic mode, but definitely panic mode.
I have two thoughts on this, and they're kind of unrelated. One is just a general kind of exasperation over what happened to baseball players. Remember when running the first, you didn't have to hold your breath, and guys seemed to be athletic and stretched out enough to where you didn't have to worry, even if they were out for months, that they would come back. And running the first and playing the outfield was just something they did, and you took for granted, like, these guys are athletic enough to not worrying about tweaking this or pulling that. And
60-game season last year? I mean, didn't we expect a certain amount
of
pandemic-shortened year?
I would worry more about pitching arms than I would be about hamstrings and muscles, because these guys, they got to stay in shape in the offseason, right? I mean, they're athletic specimens. These guys are paid to be professional athletes, and maybe they're so finely tuned that every little thing becomes magnified and you worry about them being maybe too tightly wound. I don't know. Maybe the old days were the better days when you had to just worry about showing up and getting in shape in spring training, and you didn't have this year-round fitness regimen that made every pull exaggerated and you worried about every sort of ache and pain and owie. Because now you do worry. Now you have him back for one game. And instead of, hi, Mom, it's hi, Doc.
Oh, boy.
And you're back in recovery. And I just don't know. I know it's a precaution and all these things, the abundance of caution and all the cautionary tales that they will tell. But I liked it better when we were waiting for him to hit his next home run and not worrying about whether or not he's going to feel loose enough. And I wondered immediately. You know, I said, as I pointed out earlier, Gavin Sheets batting for Eloy Jimenez in the ninth inning of a one-run game is not something you do to play the percentages. It's something you do to protect against further injury, which is something that makes you gasp and worry a lot if you're a White Sox fan. So, yeah, not a great night.
Yeah, if the Sox had been up 3 or 4 and cruising right along and they took him out for just to be safe, we wouldn't, and they had won the game, this would be a moot point. It would not feel the same. You guys both nailed it. Mully, to your point, right away you think, well, does that have anything to do with what went on the night before when we all were oohing and aahing about the fact that he played gold glove caliber defense? That's what goes through your mind. And David, I've been on this for a long time. I think there is the training and the over-the-top physical fitness. Sometimes these things can happen. And I'm not saying this is what the case is with Eloy, but I think they're in your specific sports, you become in shape for that sport. You guys played sports at a high level. You know, at one time, Mully, right, you can admit you were in soccer shape. And that was a different shape than another sport shape. And David, in being in football shape, is a different being in that shape than necessarily being in baseball shape. And I think there is something to that as well. So today, again, you know, we're not too far away. It's day baseball for both the Sox and the Cubs. You know, we're not too far away from trying to find out, is Eloy going to be DHing today? Or is he given the day off and you want to welcome him back? Does this also have an impact on the progression with what's going on with Louis Robert? In two ways. Does this make it happen faster because they need him if, God forbid, Eloy's going to be out for some time? Or because Eloy got injured quickly, do they hit pause with a 9-ish, 8.5-ish game lead in the division? Do they hit pause and say, you know what? We need to ride this thing out a little bit.
More likely that they hit pause and be sure that he's ready when he returns, because you don't want to bring him back.
Because when he comes back, right? Yeah. I mean, he's expected to play the field. He's not, you know, Louis's not coming up here to DH. He's expected to do it all and maybe cover a little bit about the lack of talent on defense in left and right field.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
With the Brewers trading for Eduardo Escobar and Adam Frazier gone, how important is it for the Sox to close the deal on a trade for Trevor Story? As USA Today's Bob Nightingale said, they were close to doing at press time. How will you feel if they go 0-for-3 on Frazier, Escobar, and Story for their second base need?
Not good. Not good. You would not feel good about them going 0-for-3. You'd start to parse every deal and every description of every prospect that is exchanged between the teams who wanted a second baseman and got them and what they had to give up. If you're the White Sox, you have to now, I think the pressure is enhanced. If you're the last team to be in the mix now, we have maintained throughout the month, I thought we agreed that there were going to be 1 of 3 second basemen, all-star second basemen as we referred to them, that the White Sox would be in on. And any one of the three we could accept and rationalize and kind of plug in. There's only one left. So if you don't get that guy, you're going to be disappointed just based on the expectations that were created. And if you're Rick Hahn, I think you want to go into this with no regrets. You want to have no regrets at 3:05 Friday afternoon if you're left there without an all-star second baseman, without any bullpen help. You'd like to get both. Ideally, you will. But this latest development puts a lot more pressure, I think, because on Eric Khan, because of everything that's been said and written and discussed this month. And maybe there's something to the Charlotte Knights movements and maneuvers last night when you look at the box score and you see Jake Berger left the game and Lambert pitched two innings. And maybe there's fire to that smoke, but I think there's got to be something or else Rick Khan will feel regretful tomorrow afternoon.
This is John Heyman 20 hours ago. Continue to hear it's a real buyer's market for position players. Lots of stars on market. Bryant, Story, Baez, Rizzo, Turner, Buxton, Marte, Escobar, Gallo, Peralta, etc. Hearing of many offers of B-level prospects for established A-names. Contenders are focused on pitching. So there's going to be a harder time getting pitching than there is trying to get a position player because guys are on the move and everybody knows it. And you're right, David, it does feel like a game of musical chairs. And it feels like the Sox are kind of sitting there waiting to see who lands where and is there a spot for them. And it's worrisome because so many of these guys are moving as quickly as they are. And there are teams that are being a lot more aggressive. It's what's interesting to me is that there are other guys, other options, but like Jonathan Scope is a division guy, right? Whit Merrifield, division guy. The kid from Cleveland, are they going to trade him to the White Sox? Oh, that's okay. We'll go get Baez and he'll play second base for the – that's a local price tag, right? I mean, it's just – The guy, they do seem like they're running out of options pretty quickly, and some of the names that have been thrown around are all landing elsewhere, and I don't think they're in a panic mode, but I know that I am. I'm in a panic mode about everything this morning. Good God, could somebody please not hit the button because I'm about to flop on the floor. This is, get to it. Let's go. Let's get something done.
What feels like and it looks like everybody else that's in contention in the American League has done something. They've at least made some sort of move. Maybe not major moves on the surface, but they've made some kind of move, and the Sox haven't done anything yet. And you worry if Aloy and Louis Robert are what they're banking on, like that's going to be enough to get them to that point. But again, you know, the other part you're going to want to find out is, if nothing happens, like what names were asked for? Who were the Sox not willing to part with? You know, and would it be guys like Lambert and Berger if those are the guys? Like, God forbid we could not get rid of those guys. Like, oh no, we wouldn't want to get to the ALCS and not have Jimmy Lambert in Double A. What? Like, I mean,
listen,
feels...
you'll be so filled with regret if you don't if it bites you, Dustin, as you're saying, if the injured players don't come back healthy, if you run a foul of like a shortened a playoff run because you didn't make a move, I can't imagine you wouldn't be regretful.
And I can't imagine them having any player in their minor league system that I can think of, maybe Jared Kelly, but I think even him, he would be in the mix. What you want to do is you want to protect your major league roster, but I don't think there's any minor league talent that you wouldn't part with for the right guy, right? Or you would hope
you would hope
that's
not.
What you're saying, I mean, essentially.
Yeah,
just curious. You know, when we reach the trade deadline over the weekend, we will start finding out about the deals that could have, should have, would have happened if you would have, could have, should have pulled the trigger, for lack of a better term, on it.
We'll be all over that Saturday morning, 9 to 11, there inside the clubhouse, Bruce Levine.
Great question.
And Baez let Garrett know. Baez tossed the bat. Garrett picked it up. The celebration is on.
That highlight courtesy of Marquee Sports Network. What do you think of Javier Baez reportedly being fined but not suspended for his behavior after his walk-off hit against Amir Garrett? Baez was not in the starting lineup again Wednesday with his sore heel. Any chance it's a trade stall?
I don't think there's a trade stall going on with Javi Baez. I think it is the heel. And, I'm really glad that he did not get suspended. I think a fine probably is fair because it was a near kind of violent incident. And, yeah, it was a little over the top if we're being honest about it. I mean, glad he didn't take his clothes off, but he seem to threaten that. I think Major League Baseball has to take into account Amir Garrett and Javi Baez and what's going on between them. And I think that they did so. So I like that he wasn't suspended. I don't believe that this is a trade stall. I don't believe this is similar to taking guys off the field in Charlotte. I think it's a different deal. I do think that the heel is bothering him, and hopefully he can play today. But I worry about the bad blood between those two players, because it came very close to escalating into something. You know, Amir Garrett is a half-whack nut job, isn't he? Who knows what the hell that guy could do? And I'm kind of enjoying the fact that they're not squaring off again. But Javi is, there's something about Amir Garrett that makes Javi want to rush the mound.
Oh, yeah. He gets triggered. And it is scary when there's a bat laying there within reach of Amir Garrett after Javi is taunting him to the degree that he was. So it's probably better all the way around for Javi Baez. If you want to call it a trade stall, if you want to call it a bad heel, if you want to call it just, you know, abundance of caution, whatever it is, I'm glad he wasn't in the lineup. I'm glad he's not facing this guy, and I hope he rests another day. I also maintain that if they are talking trade with anybody regarding Javi Baez, and I don't think that they are as much as they are some other guys, but if you are, it'd be foolish to play Javi Baez. It'd be foolish to play anybody who has an owie or an ache or a pain. You've got until 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. You're the Cubs. You are out of it. Your season is over. And why would you risk a guy getting injured who you want to trade to bring him something in return for the future? Why would you try to do something in the meaningless present for that? So I think it's smart to not play Javi. The suspension would have been too much. I think a bridge too far and overreacting to it because of the history here. But I think find them and discipline them and send a message that you don't want to, you can't handle it or tolerate this. The best part of this story is Javi was not in the lineup, so Chris Bryant played shortstop, his sixth position.
This is becoming very frustrating to me. This has been a bad week for me with Javi Baez. First of all, you can't protect him. He had the walk-off hit. He decided to do those antics. You're not protecting him. I really believe that he is being suspended by the Cubs. I believe this is a punishment from the Cubs, and he's sitting down. The fact that he didn't get into that game last night when you lose Horner, and all of a sudden now you're... I mean, you want to talk about risking. Who's more likely to be traded, Baez or Bryant? Bryant is more likely to be traded than Baez, in my opinion. But you'd risk Bryant playing short. I think the team is trying to send a message to him and see how he behaves. Or the flip side of this is maybe Javi does want to get out of here. Maybe he wants out of town. Maybe he realizes that he's not going to get the $200+ million that has been suggested for his services. And maybe he's like, the heel doesn't feel very good. Notice that I'm the only one, I'm the only one that can do anything around here. I'm the only contributor. You're sitting Wilson tonight. You know what? Sit Wilson and I and see how things go. Oh, that's right. You lost 8-2 to the Reds. You've lost 7 out of 11. The one of the games that we won is because I got off the bench and hit the ball.
He hasn't said that.
Where'd you get these comments from?
You're projecting that, aren't you?
But did you hear him giggling like a seventh grade girl when she might go to a dance with a boy over the fact that he could play second base with the Mets with Lindor?
Ooh, oh, see,
that's when I started laughing. When he said,
now we're there.
I've been having a rough week with Javi. Okay. I went back to yesterday. You found that audio of him on a Puerto Rican radio station saying the only way he would play second base is if it was with Frankie Lindor. And Dustin, that triggered Dustin. That like, not since the Kevin Durant comments regarding Michael Jordan from Steve Kerr.
I mean,
have I seen you?
That was trigger. That was like a Aaron Rodgers level airing of grievances there.
That's your problem, is that he was laughing about being traded and playing second base.
De hacer pareja con Lindor en los Mets. Sí, ya lo se me están poniendo, ustedes me están poniendo bien difícil.
That's not him. That's the host.
Best part.
That's so funny.
They're laughing at him saying he'll choose where he wants to play.
Yes. That's what they're laughing at. Dustin, did you happen to hear Jeff Bezos when he landed from his little outer space shot?
No. So you don't want to hear my thoughts.
Listen,
on that.
Well, you've got to get Ray, we got to find this audio. He was asked by a guy, does it make you want to explore deeper into space? And he said, yes. Like, it was the weirdest laugh. It was like the evil genius laugh that you don't hear from anyone. But it was Bezos' reaction. We have to find that audio. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, that's kind of a loaded question. I love this organization, and I love being a Packer, and I've enjoyed my time here. But I can be used as a pseudo-consultant because I know this place. I know this building. I know the people that work here. I know what helps it go.
Did Aaron Rodgers make any legitimate, significant points when he talked about the way the Packers regard or perhaps disregard him? Should he be used as a pseudo-consultant, as he now apparently will be? Has Rodgers gotten what he wants?
Well, I'll say this. It felt like we were watching a public therapy session, and he was airing every grievance. When you go back and you're able to recall every slight, and you go back to Charles Woodson, when they let go of Charles Woodson, that's a long time. You know, I think you look back, that's like going 5-10 years almost, the last decade, everything that is registering in his memory and piling up, accumulating, and just until the point where he couldn't take it anymore. So he named 12 players that were mishandled, mistreated, and didn't receive the respect that Aaron Rodgers thought that they deserved. 12 players, that's just off the top of his head. And we know how he felt about Kumaro last year, the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. So the first question, though, and I have been critical of Aaron Rodgers this offseason just because I feel like I wasn't sure what he was, you know, I always thought he was going to report. I always thought that they were close to a Super Bowl if he does report. And why wouldn't you want to be part of a championship? Because that would be part of his legacy. But did Aaron Rodgers make any legitimate, significant points when he talked about the way the Packers regard or perhaps disregard him? How about every point that he made was a good one? How about everything that he said was correct? How about this guy has never been more accurate in the pocket than he was at the podium? This guy was on fire. And that was one of the most revealing, enlightening, and entertaining press conferences from a professional athlete I've ever seen. And I don't have any criticism of it because I don't like the diva nature of players. I don't think anyone really, you know, wants to celebrate that aspect of it. But in this age of player empowerment, Aaron Rodgers did exactly what other guys have done. And you know what? Frankly, he has earned it. He has earned it. He is the reigning MVP. He has won a Super Bowl championship. And if he wants to say it matters, he made a lot of sense. He should have it. If anybody has earned the right to have a say on player personnel moves, especially when it pertains to his receiving core, absolutely Aaron Rodgers should be consulted moving forward. And has he gotten what he wanted? He's got a lot of attention, and maybe that is what he wanted.
Let me tell you something. You couldn't stop watching it. It was extraordinary, and you're absolutely right. It was like watching a therapy session. It was like listening to a guy open up his heart and tell exactly how he felt about things, and he just kept going. I mean, he was asked a question, and he answered for 5 minutes and 43 seconds. And it was every minute of it. You weren't like, hey, is this going to go on? It was just extraordinary. And you don't hear from athletes in that fashion. And you really did get to kind of walk around in his shoes a little bit. I got a bunch of thoughts about it. First, let me say that I always thought that I wanted a business card that just said unpublished author. I thought it'd be a great idea to have that as a business card. Now I'm going with pseudo consultant. I think that might be like the coolest turn of phrase I've heard in a while, and I like it a lot. I've heard him talk before where he makes the point that when they drafted Jordan Love, it's completely unlike when he was drafted because everyone keeps comparing the two. And the point that he makes is that I fell in the draft. I fell to them and they took me. They traded up and went and got Jordan Love. And he talked about when they made that trade, he went through in his head, well, there's this receiver, that receiver. He was playing along with them, and then they took the quarterback. Now, I think the problem I have with all of it is that, let's say they called him. Hey, we're thinking about taking this quarterback. We just want you to know, you know, because you mean so much to us. We're not replacing you, but this is an unbelievable opportunity. We're going to take this guy. What does he say on the phone to that? Does he say, oh, no, don't do that. Go get a wide receiver. I don't know how that conversation goes. I don't know that you need to tell him what you're doing when you're making that move because you're trading up to do it, and it's an aggressive move to replace him. And I don't know what the conversation would be that would make him happy.
That's a good point.
About knowing that.
I don't know when you would make that call, though. You wouldn't make it when you're on the clock.
Well, that's my point.
You'd make it the morning of the draft.
Hey, if this happens, we're thinking of this. We like this guy.
I think that's what he would wanted. And at that point, he may say, you might want to think about these wide receivers.
Exactly.
They would say, thanks for your input. We're leaning this direction, and we wanted you to know.
Right.
You know, and we'll see what happens.
And that's probably the way to handle it. So now he apparently is going to get a seat at the table. They are going to let him make his case. I think what's fascinating now is, does that matter to him at all?
Right.
Is his opinion going to change theirs? Is his expressing of his opinion going to satisfy him when they go ahead and do whatever the hell they were going to do anyway? Because I suspect that's what they're going to do. So I don't know that any resolution occurred. But again, just one of the great moments in sports, getting to sit there and listen to him.
I think where he did win, I don't like that in the big picture, but where he did win was that he should have definitely been consulted on the next head coach when they were hiring.
That's a big one.
That for sure is one. And that mid-season, they cut Kumerow, who he really liked. He had a comfort factor with him, and they didn't talk to him, and they just got rid of him. And again, what did Kumerow do wrong? Because he hitched his wagon to Aaron Rodgers. I just don't understand why they would have done that. Now, the most interesting thing is that he did say, I wouldn't want anybody to quit on me, so basically I'm not quitting on the Packers yet. There is a possibility. They are not broken up. They are not as broken up as I thought on,
He's
Tuesday.
100% all in.
On Tuesday, I thought this was it. But now I put it at 50-50. Because they can't write in the contract that this is it and we're going to trade you. Legally, that can't be written. It'd be a handshake agreement, perhaps, a nodding of heads, a wink-wink, nod-nod. But technically, by the rules of the NFL and all that kind of jazz, it can't be done.
Well, that's a lot of questions. I almost have to look at them for a while.
What was your first reaction to the news that rookie left tackle Tevin Jenkins missed the first workout with a back injury? Is it too early to start worrying about durability or injuries on the offensive line, considering right tackle Jermaine Ifedi also was placed on the physically unable to perform list?
Never too early to worry about injuries at the tackle position. Never too early to worry about injuries, period, end of story. Certainly, when you talk about an offensive line, they don't have anyone that's ever played the position. And they have drafted a guy that they think is going to be the left tackle. And what's the greatest ability in football?
Availability.
That's the one. So the fact that he was unavailable for his first practice is a big deal. It's just something. If it turns out like it's nothing and he's the Iron Man and it all goes great, fantastic. But if it turns out that there's going to be ticky-tack, nicky-knack type of things, that's a big problem. And Ifedi, same issue. Didn't we hear from the offensive line coach saying he was going to be a Pro Bowler or something at one point in the offseason? Madness. I think it's a big deal. My first reaction was, oh, God. It's not a happy way to start. I get it. It doesn't really matter. They're going to work through it, all the rest of it. These are little red flags, and you don't want to be driving through them. You want to slow down and give them a break.
My first reaction was I was talking to Big Z about this, and our minds both went back to the same day in 2008. And Chris Williams was the 14th overall pick in the first round. In his first practice, he went down with a back injury.
Came pre-injured.
He did. He was pre-injured, and he ended up having surgery and a disc, a herniated disc, I believe. And he was not the player that they had spent the offseason hoping he could be immediately. And so, yeah, it's an unfair maybe p- place to go. It's an unfair comparison. But look, when you are injured on the first day of practice after having so much hope invested in your position change, absolutely, you're unhappy. It's unfair, and it's unfortunate because now with the Effetti news, you go to the first practice and both of your projected starting tackles are watching. That's not a good thing for a coach, and it's not a good thing for anybody, because I thought the first day we agreed was going to be optimistic, and then something happened along the way, reality set in.
I don't think we're at DEFCON 1 yet, but I put it at like 2.5 for me. Again, a back on a guy who's 6'7", three bills, playing tackle, switching. Yes, of course. Now, tell me that he's been banging weights like a madman, like in some tent, and he's just been working his rear end off, and that's why, like, I could live with that. And in that case, I don't know that I would tell the media that he's, like, not available. Like, you know, have him stand there with, like, the shoulder pads and the helmet on and just kind of walk him in and out. I think today is going to really be the first day of them, like, busting their butts. Now, Effetti, I could go the opposite way. Like, he's always been he's a super large human being. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's still applicable. You know, they used to when they started training camp. They used to have to run a certain distance.
Yeah.
And they had to get a certain time.
Right.
In that distance, everybody was different
depending on your position.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if they're still doing that, did Effetti fail that? And so that's why he was put on the pup list, like as a punishment, like, hey, you know, for the last time we saw you was 3.5-4 weeks ago. And in that time, like, you gained 25 pounds and you basically have been eating cheese fries in a combo every day. So we're upset with you. Get your rear end in shape. So we're going to put you on the pup list and kind of embarrass you a little bit. Maybe that might be too old school football, though. But of course, my radar is up.
Didn't they put Eddie Jackson on the non-football injury
list? Yeah, what was that all about?
That
hamstring?
That has to get
so
your radar.
If it's
going.
A non-football hamstring injury, what does that mean?
It means he didn't play football in the offseason. Well, so he pulled
his hammy. He's dehydrated.
When did he pull his hammy? Mowing the grass? I mean, what does that mean?
That's what you wonder.
Playing
when you
basketball?
See it. That's exactly what goes through your head. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, these
digress.
These are trigger points, man. We need some therapy. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.